Finally, good Lord, fellas, it's been a while. Just a little bit of news since last time, right? Just a little bit of changes and news, I think. So, anyway, welcome back, Steve, Eddie. How you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. Just trying to keep my spirits up till the end of the season because it's been a long road. This is our third manager, I guess. I don't know. We won on the weekend, though, so it's all right. We take it day by day, match day to match day. So it's okay for now.
Steve, how's Minnesota? Snow melted yet, or did you get fresh?
Snow melted for us. A little bit further north of here, it's still pretty nasty, but we've got brown grass everywhere. I'm looking like I'm looking up my window there, but that's just a hallway. So there's nothing to see. But no, spring is springing, but I kind of, Eddie, I kind of echo Eddie's sentiments is what I'm trying to say. Just kind of waiting for the season to end. I'm just ready. I'm ready for this season to wrap up, and hopefully we can make something of it in the next couple of months. Maybe we have what 11 match days left, something like that, and then we can go into next season strong with whoever our manager will be there.
It's been a long season. I feel like it's been probably the roughest one that I can remember, just because of expectations and ups and downs. And I mean, we've had worse seasons, but it's just, this one feels rougher. Like we've been through the trenches with it. It just feels like we've also been beat up. And I think that's why we haven't been as active on the podcast. It's what is it here to talk about? It's the same old crap every week. So, but we're back here to talk about the changes and where this team is right now with, like you said, 11 match days left. So, and some Europa League games. We're still somehow in Europa League fighting for another trophy. So as bad as it seems, there's still some stuff on the table to grab. And I don't know, with a new coach, what do you think? Maybe we can. You know, we're joining you here. This is April 3rd. We're recording this. So, you know, the news broke about, 2 weeks ago with Sampaoli getting the sack on his second stint with Sevilla. And, you know, guys, what did you think? Was the timing appropriate? Do you think he deserved to get sacked? And, what do you think, Eddie?
Whenever you're in front of a 2 week break like that, I guess it's the best time to let go of a manager. At the time it happened, I didn't know if it was going to help or not, because the squad he inherited was dysfunctional, to say the least. And the injury problems as well wasn't helping his case. I don't think it was that many bad results, he inherited it before the January transfer window as well. So it wasn't great before then, but post transfer window, January was okay, bar the Girona result, but it was a pretty decent month. Copa del Rey didn't go so well, but we didn't really care too much about that. Europa League is pretty good. Sure, we lost away matches, but decent. But the losses to Barcelona, I think it was more the way we played against Barcelona that was telling, and the Atletico loss was rough. Home loss to Osasuna, and then the loss to Etafi did it. I don't know if that was enough, but maybe it tells me that they didn't really like the appointment to begin with, which is why they took the chance to let him go. So maybe there was a little bit of that, but I guess maybe a change was good, because they might be worried about the league position, because it is tight at the lower half. So it started out well, so we'll see if it continues that way.
Yeah, Eddie, what do you think?
Steve, what did you think? Asking me.
Sorry, Steve. I'm out of practice.
I think, yeah, like Eddie said, we're moving on at the right time. It's something that we did not afford that opportunity to Sampaoli, really, which is unfortunate because there were plenty of opportunities early in the season with international breaks where we could have moved on from him, and we didn't. We chose to do it in the middle of just normal match day, like weekly play. That being said, I'm not completely sold on the replacement. Sure, we got a good result last weekend, but that was against a team that is arguably much worse than we are, just on paper. But we'll see what happens with that. But we'll see if we can, if this is just like a new manager bump that we kind of, you kind of see the players will play harder as they're trying to make names for themselves with the new management, or if this is actually something that maybe his style of play actually fits our players better. So I'm not necessarily sold on him, but I'm not also not against against our new manager. But also I want to point out that even though we moved on from Sampaoli, and I thought it was the right time for us to do that, it's like I don't necessarily think that it was wrong for us to hire him in the first place. He gave us a noticeable increase in play and performance over Lopetegui, and we would not even be, I mean, we would be in a much worse spot had we continued with Lopetegui's form through the first couple of weeks. So even though I'm happy that we've moved on from Sampaoli, and I think that it was the right thing to do, it wasn't necessarily a mistake to hire him in the first place. I'm glad that we were able to move on. We were able to kind of acknowledge the fact that maybe this was the time to move on, though.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think we needed a change. It just seemed like Sampaoli wasn't. I don't know if this team is really set up for his what he wants to do, right? Like, and it was kind of hoping that he could change things, but I mean, the team didn't really seem, in my opinion, to play any different under him. I don't think he got a lot out of the players. So, and then it just seemed like he was, you know, trying to take. I think the thing that frustrated me was you've got a ton of injuries on your back line and you're still trying to play a three back system back there. And just that irked me because you're just trying to like throw players into positions they're not really that comfortable with. And then he would make changes sometimes where he would end up the game with the, you know, just two center backs in the back, and we played better. So the actual coaching part, I didn't think he did a great job of. And I thought it was time to move on. I didn't think they would make it. I thought he would ride out the end of the season. I really did. I was really surprised, especially with money tied up. I thought that was gonna, you know, handcuff the front office from making any decisions there. But I think Castro too is kind of pressured into making some changes, because his position as president's right there on the chopping block, and you know they're coming after him, and any negativity is looked at as a reason to remove him from that chair. So I think a lot of things have kind of compounded into the decision of moving on, but it comes down to just pure play, and they're not winning enough games, and they're getting crushed by teams that we were beating last year. You know, I mean, we had good results against Atleti last year, and here we are losing by 6 goals, I think it was. Like, come on, that's terrible. But with that said, I mean, new manager came in, you know, I'm gonna screw up the name because we were joking about what the English announcers were calling him over the weekend, but Mendilibar, right? Comes in, former Elche manager, or not, sorry, former Eibar manager. You know, impressive. You know, I was reading on social media a lot, and people were like dogging him. Oh, he went down with Eibar. He went down with Alaves, right? Like, you know, two teams he took down to the bottom. But it's the same guy that kept Eibar, who has a stadium of like 7,500 people or something in a exactly. budget that's like 12 million in the top flight for 6 seasons. Come on. That's very impressive to me. Then he started talking and I was sold like immediately because he's talking forward passing, attacking, not passing back to the goalkeeper, not passing back unless you really have to. Like, that's the things we've all been like dying for here as Sevilla fans, and he's talking our language. And I think we kind of saw that this week, right? Like, I didn't notice as much back passing this past weekend, especially from the midfield to the back, you know, to Dmitrovic, who actually got the start over Bono this week. So, yeah, what did you guys think about the first day? Any immediate things that stuck out to you?
I thought that Yusuf Nasiri was a completely different player. It seemed like the style of play fit him a lot better. He was, yeah, like it was night and day difference between like the beginning of the year when we were kind of on him for bumbling around. He was playing with purpose, and he was he had a couple of really good chances in the box as well that we have not been seeing with him over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months with Sampaoli. So I thought that stuck out to me a lot.
I thought Yusuf, I mean, he's probably been our best player, or, you know, since the World Cup. I mean, he's second.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been terrible, but
well, in all competitions, he's second behind Benzema in total goals scored.
Yeah, like a lot of those goals still came from like breakdown in plays that created counterattacking opportunities, or there was still this like trepidation that we saw with him. Like, is he actually going to shoot? Is he not? He just wasn't as deliberate, and I felt like watching the game Watching the game on Saturday. He played with like a confidence that we haven't seen him in a long time, which is, it looked different. Like, he looked like he knew exactly where he was supposed to be and what his role was on the pitch. And he wasn't just trying to make something out of nothing, which is what we kind of entrusted him to do, for the last couple of months.
And that finish wasn't typical of him, right? Like, normally that would get saved.
Yeah.
And in Nasri from first part of the season, that wasn't going in, right?
But that it would have been just like Oliver Torres' opportunity not too much later than that. But yeah, no, and it wasn't even just the goal that he scored. It was like there was a couple of times where he had he almost scored on headers in the box and crosses and things like that, that we just haven't seen that style of deliberate crosses into the box, which is unfortunate because that's what we've really thrived on for years. So it's kind of good to see that come back to us. Hopefully we can see more of that in the next couple of weeks as our schedule is relatively favorable.
Yeah. Eddie, did you see any changes? Do you think we'll see any future changes? Cause I mean, at Ibar, he'd like to have a two-striker front line, like a 4-4-2, I think, is what he was running there. So do you think we'll see some of that, or do you think he's going to be stuck in this what did he run the other day, 4-1-3-1 or whatever it was, something?
Yeah, 4-2-3-1. I mean, it essentially is a 4-4-2, just Rakitic behind.
Yeah.
But I think we'll see more of that. I'm not sure if he's going to go with the two up front, but he might try that in some games instead of hooking off the striker for one. But yeah, like you guys mentioned, the back passing, there was a reluctancy to pass it back and a lot of balls going forward to give ourselves chances to win the second ball, to get in opportunistic situations and positions on the field, right? I think it worked in our favor as to like not concede unnecessary chances, because that's been happening a lot. Trying to play out from the back, it's not bad to do that because, I mean, you want to keep the ball, right? It's a best defense. It could also be a good offense, but we don't have a good offense. So what's the point of trying to keep the ball and playing it in your back line when you're messing up a lot of the time? So The directness of Mandeli Bar's play is actually helping us get back to the fundamentals. And everything with that second goal said that it's a direct ball to the forwards. And it was Brian Hill actually playing a ball to the striker, where, you know, I've been complaining since day one that we don't play to our striker enough. So I think the changes you saw there, Steve, with Nesiri's play and his attitude was knowing that, okay, I'm going to get a lot more balls played to me this time. They're going to look for me more. So there's going to be a lot more crosses. I think we just had a hard time getting in those positions to do that. We've played better than that in previous games, even under Sampaoli, but the idea was there. I just don't like, as good as Rakitic was, I don't like him in a number 10 because I feel he's too slow for that position. Yeah. But he's reliable, so we're away from home as well. So not to nitpick and all that. So just to be safe in the first game, I think that helped us as well. But it's good to get the win.
Kind of saw Thuso in that role a little bit at the second half, yeah. It seemed like. And he looked pretty good there, I thought. Like, yeah, you know, at that time, I mean, play was breaking down, of course, and space was open for Sevilla, but just seemed like he was getting, you know, forward more than Rakitic did early in the game.
Just to touch on that, it's interesting that he was being played there even when Oliver came in afterwards, and Oliver was still stationed to the wing. So that tells me maybe he's looking more to have a player like Suso in the number 10 role. Hopefully. So submission, you know what I mean?
You've been talking about that for a long time, trying to play him there. And I think it would open up his game. Yeah, well, maybe. Papu's back training. We might see. We might actually have a full squad this weekend, fellas. Like, Marcal's in training, Rekic's in training, Papu's in training, Tecatito's back after a few weeks. So, I mean... Knock on wood, Fernando is going to be back this weekend. So, knock on wood, we might have a full squad going into this game. And that's kind of amazing in itself. I'm sure tomorrow I'll read that somebody's hurt.
I mean, Papu's still going to be on the team because there was rumors that his contract might be rescinded. These kinds, I mean, believe it when you see it, right? But
yeah, I mean, there's photos of him in training. So, can't imagine that he would be training if he wasn't planning on playing eventually. Mm-hmm. We still might be a couple weeks out on Marcal. They were saying that I think mid-April, but
yeah,
who knows? He might be on the bench as an emergency sub, but we'll see. So the big game we got coming up, Celta, right? This Friday. Good Friday in Sevilla. The locals are really pissed off about this game because it's right in the middle of Semana Santa, and as we all know, that's a huge deal in Sevilla. Traffic's going to be a nightmare with all the foot traffic and everything, and the locals are not happy that this game's being played on Friday, but it is what it is. What is that, 3 p.m. here on the East Coast time? So 9 p.m. over in Spain. Big game. I mean, Celta's been playing really well. They had a draw, I think, this past weekend. But, you know, a big game is they're 35. They're sitting on 35 points. We're on 31. So a good chance to climb them a little bit. We got two people in front of us or between us and Celta, which is Mallorca and Girona. So have a potential to move into 11th place this weekend in the league. So that'd be huge. I mean, that would be absolutely enormous if we could get a victory this weekend, and especially when a team's above you. So massive opportunity this coming up weekend.
I think it's just good to have that game at home, just because our home form has been pretty good, bar a couple matches. At least we're kind of getting that home form back. I think that should favor us.
Funny you mentioned that. Like, that was the stat that like blew me away. It was that's only our third away win this past weekend, third away win all season, Each away win was by different managers. So hopefully that's not the last one for the new gaffer there, but we'll see. So. It's been a strange one. It's been a really, really weird season. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited at where we are. Mendilibar was only signed through June, so it can only be an upside for us. I mean, he's going to be kind of a caretaker until June. Maybe he gets extended. I think there's probably some clauses out there for him to get extended if he gets us to a certain position. But and he would deserve it if he got us out of this mess. So things are kind of looking up. I don't want to like say it too quickly because I said it before. I think even the last time we had our last podcast, I was like, oh, the things might be looking up. And then just struggle after struggle. But anyway.
I thought we would still be in a top four race with Lopetegui at this point in the season. So you win some, you lose some, right? But we still have to see more. Obviously, the approach is what we have a belief in. I don't know what conditions are that would get him the job for the next season. Maybe win the Europa League and finish decently in the table. If he wins the Europa League, I mean,
a no brainer. You gotta give him a shot if he does that, right? Unless he gets sent down too, which is still a possibility. Holy.
Imagine that.
We've never made it this far in Europa League without winning at all. So, you know, You heard it here first, folks.
Speaking of that, we've got a pretty tough draw, though, coming into the next round with Manchester United.
When's the last time they beat us? Yeah, when's the last time they beat us?
I mean, I've been talking a lot of crap on Twitter about, hey, here's the past three matches, fellas. Yeah. You tell me who's got a good chance here, but
I think those are the only three matches, aren't they?
yeah, exactly. But I mean, they lost and looked pretty horrible on Sunday. So yeah, everybody's saying for them it's down to Casemiro as being their kind of key in the middle, and whether that's true or not, I don't know. We've got our experience with him, so I don't know. It's going to be an interesting match. It's not going to be a blowout like they think it's going to be, I don't think. I think we'll show up much better against Man U than our South Side Sevilla neighbors did in their experience with Man U.
I thought it was interesting to see. If you look at who Manchester United has played in European competition this year, they have played 23% of La Liga schedule because they played four Spanish side teams home and away. So they've got eight of those games.
maybe it will be the lucky charm to knock them out. You just want to see that.
But this game. I'm looking forward to this game. The banter on Twitter was a lot of fun a couple of years ago when we semis that we played them. Yeah, it was the semis that we played them. Nobody gave us a snowball's chance in hell then, and we took it and ran with it. Nobody's given us any chance now. I think it's more rightfully so now than 2 years ago or 3 years ago at this point. But that's why you play the game. You gotta see what happens in the 180 plus minutes that we'll be playing. I'm happy that we are able to play at home for the return fixture, so we know exactly what used to happen during that. That's the first time we've had that in this competition this year, because we've been playing against the seeded teams from the Europa League, so we've been kind of on pins and needles going into that second fixture, knowing that we can't give up two goals or can't give up three goals. And in both the games that we played, we damn near gave up those goals and forced extra time. So just having that and knowing what we need to do, I think will be good for us. And being able to come home to the Sanchez Pizjuan after that away fixture will be interesting and good to see as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a it's our competition, right? Like, come on. We know what to do. We just got to do it. There's some people out there saying, you know, we shouldn't be concentrating on Europa League and just fully concentrate on the league. But come on.
Why?
We're in it there, right? Like, come on.
Yeah. We're not going to, as much as I like to say it and I like to put the math out there, it's very unlikely that we are going to get top four in the league. Like, it's still mathematically possible. It's also probably equally unlikely, for all practical purposes, for us to qualify for any kind of European competition this year. We can definitely get up to seven, but there's a lot of cards that have to fall our way in order to do that. We've kind of backed ourselves into a corner, and just winning the games that we have left is almost not enough at this point if we were to win out.
I disagree because we got Athletic. We play at Bilbao head to head one time, so that's 3 points. Yeah, they're only six ahead. So
yeah,
that's just still, one like, more win loss out there, and our schedule's pretty favorable minus the last two games of the season with Real Madrid and Real Sociedad. So
it's the point that I'm trying to make is that we are in a much worse place than we were the last 4 years at this point in the season. It's not looking up for us to qualify through the league table. It's also not looking like we're actually going to be relegated. We like to joke about it a lot and like, we'll like put banter out there, but I don't think that we're going to be relegated either. Like, we've got the talent. And as you mentioned, Chris, we've got a lot of people coming back from injuries, and we'll be able to play with a full roster of very talented individuals that I think on that alone, we can probably not be relegated, right? So what else is there to play for except Europa League at this point? Like, let's go out there and give that our best shot and like use that as an opportunity to, you know, do something that we can be proud of this year. Like, even if we don't win this competition this year, as much as it would suck not to win. But I mean, if we go out and we play Manchester United well, and if we advance to the next round and we lose there, that'll still be something that we can say, like, oh yeah, we had this really bad season, but we can be proud of how we played in Europe. That's what we're playing for at this point is pride. And a lot of these players also from the opposite side of things, or the other side of things, a lot of these players are not going to be on our roster next year. Like, we've got a lot of fringe players that were replacements for players that are hurt and are coming back. There's already talk that a lot of them are not going to be coming back this year. So like, this is it. Like, this is what they've got to play with. And let's see, like, they might not be able to, like, thinking Alex Tejas, right? He's going back to Manchester United. I don't think there's any way that we are trying to make a move to sign him. No. Manchester United doesn't want him on their team. Who are they going to loan him out to? Is there any guarantee that he'll be in any kind of European competition next year? No, probably not. I mean, he could, but it's not a guarantee. So, like, this is what those players have to play for is kind of European nights and those midweek fixtures. And there's something to be said about that.
We thought the same thing last year, though, that the roster was going to have a huge turnover, and that it didn't really happen except for the people that we didn't want to leave. But a lot of these guys are still on contract, and to move them is going to require either them saying I'm done with football or they're going to have to be sold. And I don't think their market value's there that a lot of people are going to want them. So we might be stuck with some hard decisions next year of who to keep and who not to keep. And I don't know. Telus is the least person on the team that I'm worried about. I think we've got a midfield crisis. I think we've got to solve in the offseason.
Yeah, we do. We need to work on the midfield. We need to replace a lot. It's unfortunate, but a lot of the key contributors right now are all loanees that we don't necessarily have an option to buy. We could always negotiate for that in the offseason, but there's no, I mean, we saw that with, oh God, who was it? Reguilon 3 years ago, where we were like, oh yeah, like it's a loan and we don't have an option to buy, or we're going to make a hard push to sign him from Real Madrid. And he went to Tottenham and said, I mean, for better or worse, like with how things played out. But I mean, he did play well with us for that first season. We could definitely see situations like that. Like Brian Hill, he's going back to the UK. We've got a lot of other loanees that are key contributors that we need to either sign long term or find a way to replace their production on the field.
Our best center back is Bade at this point. Like, yeah. Our best midfielder.
I think there is an opportunity. I think there is an opportunity for us to make a move for several of these players. And I think that the production that we've seen on the pitch, I think that we will make a conscious effort or concerted effort at it, but our concerted effort, I can't talk. It's been a long day. but unless there's a clause there in place, and there's not for most of these players, unless there's that clause in place, like, we don't have any more right than any other team in the world to make a move at these players. We don't have any guarantees that they're going to go anywhere. And the fact that we don't have a solid management position right now, these players don't know who they're going to be playing for next year. Is it going to be Mendilibar? Maybe, maybe not. Do they want to play for him? Maybe, maybe not. Are they going to want to play for whoever comes in? Maybe, maybe not. Like, it's, there's so much up in the air, and
not to mention money.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, where's the money going to come from? I mean, exactly. There's no Champions League money next year. Where the hell are we going to get the money from?
You don't know that. We can, like I said, we can still win Europa League.
Well, that's true. That's true. We win the Europa League, then we can talk, right? Like, all's well.
But no, there's a lot up in the air. We're going to have to be much more patient even than we were last year, I think, in terms of signings and who's going to be playing, because we don't have any stability at this point. I mean, we are a team that is a mid-table team, and we'll likely, I mean, as much as we like to have the pie in the sky ideas, we will likely not be playing in Europe. And we just came off a year where we went through three managers, and as much as I'd like to see it, I don't think we're going to have a whole lot of front office changes this offseason. I don't think we're going to have any kind of leadership changes. I would like to have that, but I don't have any trust in that. I don't have any faith in that. Like, he's been on the hot seat for a while now, and nothing's happened with that. And I think that all of those factors combined, they don't make us all that enticing over the other teams that are in similar spots competitively in Spain or in other places in Europe. So we're going to need to be very careful with and deliberate with how we manage our offseason. And it's going to take a lot more transparency and a lot more movement and effort from Monchi and the decision makers to keep the fan base placated during the summer months.
Anything to add on there, Eddie, about what's coming up?
I guess we'll have to see when that day comes in the summertime. I personally don't think it'll be that tough, especially knowing how Monchi does things in the summer. I'm pretty sure they've learned a lot from this past campaign on what to do and not to do. So I don't think the summer will be that bad once we get there. I think just imagining the end of the season and hoping they made the right decision and appointing Mendilibar. I think it'll help the players, you know, because I think Sampaoli was trying to instill a philosophy that just wasn't going to work with this set of players. So Mendilibar's more, you know, abrasive approach. I think this will help us a lot. Even in this tough game coming up against Celta Vigo, it's a tricky team that sometimes gets the best out of us. So if you just go back to the fundamentals, I'd like to see us put more pressure on the ball. I think we used to do much better with that. But I think I'm pretty confident that we're not going to get relegated. It could still happen because, I mean, in January, we had that good result in that first match, and then we lost away to Girona, and then it was doom and gloom again. Game by game, I think we'll be fine. Europa League, whatever happens there, it's a different type of game, so you don't know what could happen. But I'm fairly confident. This is me speaking after we just won on the weekend. I'm fairly confident. If we lose against Celta, it's going to be a totally different mood. But I'm fairly confident from here on out.
Yeah, I think that's it, right? Off-season is going to be the off-season, but more importantly, we've got matches to win coming up and to put us in a good spot so we can have some fun in the off-season and make some moves. You know, coming up, we got Celta this weekend. That's, like I said, Friday. It's my dog's barking in the background. Sorry about that. And then, of course, we got Man U right after that on Thursday. And that's followed by Valencia, another team that's in a kind of a surprise spot, right? They're at the bottom of the table. So,
is it a surprise? Like, given the last few years, like, is that a surprise though? That's for a different fan group and a different podcast to dissect. But yeah,
I mean, with that name alone, yeah. I mean, it's weird to see it at least.
Yeah.
knowing the owner and his quick trigger for firing people and their kind of weird roster planning and maneuvers, maybe it's not a surprise, but yeah, as passionate as that fan base is,
yeah,
it's weird.
Everything that we've gone through over the last 9 months as a Sevilla fan base, they've been going through for like 2.5-3 years, and we've got a feel for them. We've got a feel for them.
It's kind of a contrast with their stadium build there. You know, they started their stadium build like 15 years ago and never got it finished. And it seems like that's kind of Valencia here lately. It's just nothing's materialized for them. But anyway, I don't feel sorry for them. I hate that team and hate the stadium, everything about them. So whatever, I don't care. As long as we're not down there, I don't care. Yeah, so that's what we got coming up. Sevilla Atletico, they're still kind of, who knows where they're going to finish. I think they're just out of the drop zone, if I'm not mistaken, but they're not far from that either. And Sevilla C is doing okay. I don't know about the women. Eddie, any insight on how the women are doing? I haven't been paying attention lately. We can look. Doesn't matter. Nobody's
They're not doing bad. They're at a decent position on the table. It's just it's a bit of a gap with the top half, right? But they've been having a fair bit of good results. On the weekend, I had it up here, but they had a home win against Alaves 4-2.
Yeah,
but they've had a steady set of results since the last time we recorded, obviously. But
whoa, they're up to sixth in the table. Wow.
Exactly.
Nice. 34 points. Madrid, not Real Madrid or Athletic Madrid, that other Madrid whatever team, they're at 43. So a little gap there, but it's pretty tight from sixth down to ninth. So good for them. Yeah, that's awesome. Good to see them coming back up. Yeah. Guys, anything else you want to talk about before we jet off and enjoy the rest of our Monday?
No, I think we won't see Rafa Mir play on the wing anymore.
Thank goodness.
Well, I mean, there's a striker in there that wants to play and wants to score. I think we just have to pass the ball to them, because we take them out of the game so often that we're hurting ourselves. We're passing more to the goalkeeper than to the forward. So the fact that our manager directly said he wants to change that, I think it's for the better. So hopefully the injuries go a bit easier on us this time around towards the end of the season. I'm not sure if Tecatito's going to play again this season. I'm not sure. They're going slow with him, even though he's making the squad. Rekic, injury prone as well. Papu. But I'm fine with the guys that we got that are playing right now. Gudel is doing his best out there, marshalling as the fourth, fifth string center back, right? So it's all right. With the players that we got, we could do something.
Yeah. And I think we will. I think we're going to see that, because while the style of play might not be able to be described as more aggressive than Sampaoli, it's definitely more deliberate and it's more thought out, and it creates more chances in that aspect. And he also, Mendilibar, he's not really coaching for his job. Like, he knows that he's only under contract through the summer. He doesn't have to be conservative. He goes out there, and we're also in that time of year where it's kind of 3 points or bust at this point. Like, he'd rather have a win and then two losses than two draws, right? I mean, that's just kind of like, we need 3 points from these games. So I think we're gonna see a much more deliberate and like aggressive take on a lot of these matches, which is gonna be exciting to see with the players we've got.
I wanna see more players get in the box. Yeah. Like, when we get the ball down, get in the box. Like, normally it's one or two people there. I watched the Manchester United and Newcastle game this past week, and Newcastle, man, just had people around the box all second half. So
yeah,
get people in the box. Things happen, right? Like things get people into the box.
Get people in the box, and then for God's sake, stop with these short corners.
I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
They'll never stop that. They'll never stop that.
Put it in the box.
It's part of the mix-up, right? So I guess that'll never stop. But the crosses, the deliveries will be there. We have players that could deliver those. So I agree with you. Just cross it in.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Let's get it in.
Anyway, you can't create opportunities if you don't take the opportunities. So
it's been good. Welcome back. We won't be nearly as long next time. Sorry for the gap out there, folks. So hopefully you missed us. If not, then...
Surprise.
Why are you listening if you didn't miss us? I don't know.
I wonder if people are still subscribed.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks to all the Munchies Men guys. I mean, we've been kind of absent here, but the forum hasn't been. There's a lot of chatter over there. People still chatting on game day, even though it's been a weird long season. Can't thank you guys enough for continuing to support, you know, that forum. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate with, you know, fellow Sevilla fans than talking about a victory after or during the game. So come on over to the Munchies Men forums and chat with us. We'd love to have you if you're interested in this team at all. I think that's it. If you're interested in joining the podcast and chatting, so you're not listening to us three all the time, we'd love to hear from you too. So if you're interested in joining, you know, as a guest, shoot me a message, info@montiesmen.com, or hit us up on the forum, or shoot me a Twitter message @ChrisLeo. That's all I got, guys. Vamos, mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Y nunca te rindas.